Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our PM Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles. You're listening to us live on Building Fortunes Radio, www.buildingfortunesradio.com. For all those people that have figured it out, if you want to listen to us live when we're doing one of our live radio shows, you go to buildingfortunesradio.com/live, and you'll be able to hear us live. And if you want to dial in, you could use whatever device calls a phone number, and there's a few of them now. You dial the 347-237-4097 number when we're doing the radio show live, and you'll be able to listen in on whatever device listens to a phone call. So again, that's 347-237-4097. I'm going to be kind of brief in my introduction, my personal introduction on this radio show specifically, because I have a gentleman on our radio show who is a mentor of mine. I was socially stalking Alan Phillips. I say this playfully because I was interested in vaccines for myself personally, my children, my family-related kids, and my granddaughter. So I did what many people do. I went online and I started looking for vaccines, and I ran across Alan Phillips. And I started reading some articles that were posted on search engines, and then I found his radio show on Google, and I was listening in. And when I started to listen in, I just loved his approach because he's very straightforward and very thorough, and I've listened to every single radio show that he posted, whether it was his radio, his website, or his Blog Talk Radio website, and I became a big fan. That's why I say I was silently stalking. He didn't know how much of a hero he was in my mind, but I was very well educated about the things that he was doing. And I knew when you do great things, you're going to get attacked. So when you do great things, and especially if you establish the or if you threaten the establishment, you're going to get, somebody's going to come after you. And I was dismayed recently when I read that the North Carolina bar was going after Alan Phillips. And I'm like, really? Really? What in the world? Really? I've listened to this guy's radio shows, unless he's bipolar and does things in his business life that's totally different from what he does on his radio show, which I doubt. What are they doing here? Why are they going after the only person who actually really fights for personal exemptions? These are my words. Why are they going after this attorney? So I did what I do. I picked up the phone. I went to his website, right, because a little bit of digging, you could find just about anything, especially online. And I found his website, and I said, you know what, I'm going to call Mr. Phillips, introduce myself, and see what we might be able to do to help with whatever we can possibly do to help get this injustice out there. And I knew there's a backstory. I just know there's a backstory. We're going to hear a little bit about that story as we go. But I am a huge fan of attorney Alan Phillips, and it's happened over the last year or so as he's earned the right for my praise by all of the things that I've heard him do and all of the people that he's helped in relationship to vaccines and rights and personal exemptions. And in the world where there's conspiracy thinking and wacky people and all that sort of stuff, he's well-grounded, and I just really enjoy listening to him. And then all of a sudden, his radio show kind of stopped for a little bit, and I said, that stinks, because I know what's going on. They're tangling his legs up in this lawsuit. They're just trying to distract him, take him off his game of helping people. And that's why we're doing this radio show. So I'm going to solicit, if you will, the help of our Building Fortunes Radio listening audience to listen in, tune in, use your social media magic and your reach if you're listening in on Building Fortunes Radio, because many of you think along the same lines that I do. We want choice. And Alan Phillips, as he'll tell you and you'll learn, is single-handedly the most important person that I know in this industry. And for them to tangle his legs up, and I'm using like a wrestling example, for them to tangle his legs up so he can't move around, help other people, is just a disservice, and that should be criminal. So back to introducing Alan Phillips. Alan Phillips, thanks for being here.
Well, Peter, thank you so much for having me on today. It's a real pleasure and honor to be here, and I really, really appreciate having the opportunity to share my story with you and your listeners.
And I, like I said, I've listened to a lot of your radio shows. You usually go on for about an hour or so, and great examples, and you have a great way of explaining things. But for our Building Fortunes Radio listening audience, they might not know who you are. So can you tell us, you know, who you are, what do you do for a living, and why?
Sure. When my oldest son was born, almost 25 years ago now, I learned for the first time in my life from a good friend that vaccines can actually disable and even kill people. And I was quite frankly shocked about that. So I did some research, and I'll give you a few quick pointers just to give you an idea of some of the really volumes of information right out of mainstream sources that calls into question current vaccine policy and law. But with regard to the practice of law, there are two broad areas that deal with vaccines, and one is with vaccine injuries and death. And we actually have a federal program called the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program that compensates parents of children or individuals themselves who have been injured or killed by a vaccine. And that program over the last, I think it's in maybe the 29th or 30th year now of paying out money, and has paid out almost $4 billion. And many people are completely unaware of that. You won't hear about it on the mainstream news because the biggest advertiser in the mainstream media is the pharmaceutical industry now. And so they're really not allowed to say anything negative about the pharmaceutical industry there. But this information is on government websites on the internet that anybody can go look up. And there's a Federal Department of Health and Human Services report that estimates that less than 1% of the vaccine adverse events that actually occur, less than 1% ever gets reported. So this $4 billion that's been paid out might represent $40 billion or $400 billion, if you can use dollars to represent injury and death. So there's an enormous unknown here in terms of what the downside of immunizations actually is. Anyone who says, yes, there's an occasional problem with vaccines, but there's a net benefit, look at all the millions of people who've been saved by vaccines, well, we don't have any data to make that calculation because the harm, the vast majority of the harm is just not documented. So I became very concerned when I started doing research about vaccines, and at one point I was perhaps for lack of a better way to say it, I was moved to go to law school. And I went to law school for the purpose of getting a law degree and license so that I could be more helpful to people. And there are about 130 attorneys in the country that do vaccine injury cases. I don't do that work. I am, however, the only attorney in the country who does what I do, at least at anywhere near the level that I'm doing it, and that is the only attorney, my whole practice is about vaccine exemptions and waivers and vaccine legislative activism as it concerns the right to legally refuse mandatory immunizations. And, Peter, this comes up in a wide range of categories. I had no idea when I first started this work. But anywhere vaccines are required, there's a question about what are the exemptions and how do you get them if you don't want the vaccines and so forth. So here's the quick overview. Vaccines are required at birth, for school, daycare, and college enrollment. Increasingly throughout this country, as a condition of employment, the adult market, by the way, is three times the size of the childhood market, so they are working to aggressively open up
cha-ching,
the adult
cha-ching.
Market.
You could hear the pharmaceutical industry right there, cha-ching, cha-ching, three times as big. Let's get those adults.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
And so they're starting mostly with healthcare workers and flu shots. But vaccines sure. are required, of course, for members of the military, but also in certain situations, military families and, of course, civilian contractors or civilian employees with the military. They're required for immigrants, at least the legal ones. And they're required in that broader category includes foreign adopted children or even refugees. And a growing part of my practice is working with family law attorneys around the country where parents divorce or split up and disagree about vaccinating the kids. The law in that situation works different with vaccines from anything else that comes up in family law cases, and family law attorneys and courts don't recognize that. So there's an opportunity there for me to be of a lot of help sometimes to people in those kinds of cases. To one degree, international travel and so forth. So there's many different categories dealing with children and adults, and it has turned out to be far broader and deeper both than I initially anticipated. But I have some unique expertise in that situation. As I'm fond of saying, there are many attorneys that are smarter than me, but none that I'm aware of who have been immersed in this issue in the way that I have for many years now. And it's a fascinating, if sometimes difficult, practice area.
So I'm going to squeeze in this really quick story. I had three dogs, and the local dog place around here, like the place that sells pet food, would have a vet come to the dog place on a Saturday morning and be able to vaccinate the dogs at a discounted price. So my wife says, you got to go get the dogs vaccinated. And they were doing like, they were bundling up the vaccinations. So we had three dogs. I go in there for, I don't remember what it was, $20 per dog. Dog number one got the shots. Dog number two gets the shots. Dog number three gets the shots. 4 o'clock in the morning, dog number three goes into convulsions. What the hell's going on? Had to bring her to the emergency room. So any money that we saved obviously is no longer saved. Oh, your dog had an adverse reaction to the three vaccines all put together at the same time. And I said, oh my God, well, we're never going to do that again to that dog. So I have a choice, Alan, of when my, I can tell the vet, no, you're not giving my vet, you're not giving my dog those vaccines because she's already had an adverse reaction to these things. She almost died. I cannot do that if that dog is now my kid. And that's a challenge in my mind. I think I need to fight for that. If I wanted a personal exemption because I know my dog, I should be able to get that. And what you're suggesting is that that's been an issue. So for those people that are wondering, this is, you know, part of my own personal challenges with this whole thing. If I can't do that for my, if I can't do that for a dog and a kid, oh my gosh, what's going on? So you're getting tangled up with the North Carolina bar, and they're suing you. And, you know, I don't know the reasons why. I know the reasons why, but share with us the challenges associated with what's happening in the state that you're in. And I think we, well, I could, you could probably talk about that as we go, but tell us about what's going on in North Carolina, which is the state that you are in.
I am in North Carolina. I'm licensed in North Carolina, but I work with clients all over the country and, in fact, sometimes around the world as it concerns people immigrating to the U.S. and being required to get vaccines. So this is a story rooted in North Carolina, absolutely, but it is a story that affects people all over the country, not just because my clients are throughout the country, but because being the only attorney in the country that does what I do, clients who need help from the expertise that I have, that there aren't local attorneys they can go to that have it. So it really is, if I may say for purposes of clarification, you know, a national issue in that respect. But North Carolina, first of all, North Carolina has a very, very strong pharmaceutical presence. It's known as Vaccine Central in the pharmaceutical world. We're probably the top vaccine manufacturing state here, and there are some other states, you know, in that category as well. But I could imagine that that being the case, that the one person in the country who does what I do, being right here in North Carolina, maybe that's a little bit of an embarrassment to some of those people whose agenda, of course, is contrary to mine, which mine is to enable anyone, support anyone who wants to legally avoid mandatory vaccines to give them the best chance of being able to do that. Of course, they want to vaccinate everyone. So the North Carolina State Bar has been involved over the last more than a year now in an investigation. Somebody made, long story short, a false complaint. And by the way, I'm going to give an overview here today, but I'll tell you a couple of websites you can go to for more detailed version of the story for anyone who's interested. But they were investigating me for a year when they didn't even have the legal requirement to open an investigation. They have to have what's called an allegation of misconduct. That means they have to actually accuse me of doing something wrong before they can investigate me. And Peter, I know this is going to sound bizarre, but they're not accusing me of doing anything wrong. What they are seizing on is language on my website that says I work with clients and attorneys around the country, which I do, and which I can do with a North Carolina license as long as I either advise clients only about federal law or I work with a local attorney where state law issues are involved, and that's exactly what I do. They haven't accused me of doing anything wrong. What they have been saying, we want to look through hundreds of your client files to see if we can find anything that you're doing wrong. This is what's called, and Peter, this is an actual legal term, this is what's called a fishing expedition, and fishing expeditions are illegal. The government cannot require you to hand over documents or information so they can dig around to see whether or not they can find a problem. And they didn't say the language on the website was a problem. They didn't say take it down, change it, that violates some rules. And so the whole thing is just sort of crazy, you know, from the get-go. Well, I said, this is an illegal proceeding. I'm not going to pretend it's legitimate. I'm not going to participate. No, I'm not turning over hundreds of client files. My clients have a privacy right there. I'm required by law to protect their confidentiality, and I'm just not going to play. And there was another reason that I said no, Peter, and the other reason is that I have actually experienced the state bar attorney investigators at the North Carolina Bar, and I have proof of them making up facts and law. And I have not only the evidentiary proof, but I have support from two different legal experts who have written legal analyses backing me up on this. And I did the one thing you never do, and that the attorneys who represent attorneys will say, no, you always do whatever the bar says, or it looks like you're hiding something. And I said, well, I would, except this is an illegal proceeding. I'm not going to enable this dysfunctional behavior. I'm not going to encourage or support the corruption on the part of government officials at the State Bar in North Carolina. I know, because they've made up facts and law with me in the past, that if I turn over the client files, I haven't done anything wrong. You're not going to find anything, but they'll just make something up like they did once before. Again, the details of all this are available on two websites. One is vaccinerights.com. That's my main website, vaccinerights.com, and there's a link near the upper right on the home page. It says something about a witch hunt, North Carolina State Bar, because that's really what this is. It's a witch hunt. Somebody has decided they don't like what I do for a living. They're going to build a case against me and take my license. That's my opinion, my interpretation. Lots of people who know what I do for a living who say, yeah, Alan, it really does look like that to me too. But I filed complaints against the attorneys at the bar. I'm actually required by North Carolina law to do that because, I have what I believe is proof that they have engaged in would obviously be serious misconduct if they're literally making up facts and law. But worse, Peter, I did a little of my own investigating, and I have come up now with, I think, 8 or 9 different attorneys in North Carolina who reached out to me and said, Alan, they did this with me too. At least 5 of them that have been disbarred, and they said based on invented facts. They didn't do anything wrong. Now, I had a couple contact me and say, I did something wrong, but they blew it out of proportion and made it something bigger than it was. But I'm talking people who said, I didn't do anything wrong. They made up facts. They used those facts ultimately, you know, to build a case against me and ultimately disbar me. And then I've talked with another 4 or 5 who say they're currently in ongoing disciplinary proceedings, as I am now myself, and that they have seen attorneys at the bar make up facts, twist the facts, whatever you want to call it. So it looks like there's potentially here a years-long pattern of behavior. Now, they didn't do it with other attorneys because of vaccines, because I'm the only one who does what I do, at least at the level that I'm doing it. So they had other reasons for those people. But my point is I've had corroboration. It's not just me. I'm a victim, and now I'm trying to, you know, make up an excuse to get out of it. That's not what's going on here. And I've even had 2 attorneys who represent attorneys say, yes, Alan, we've seen this in our practice. You know, they make up facts. And those attorneys won't even talk to me now because I have filed a complaint against the bar, and they're afraid for their licenses if they associate with me. One won't even return my calls or emails anymore, and the other one said, well, I can't represent you, even though that's what I do for a living, but you filed a complaint against them. Nope, can't get involved there. So attorneys are afraid of the bar here. It's bizarre because the bar should have our backs. You know, we shouldn't be afraid of the bar. We should be able to reach out to the bar and say, hey, back me up here. So it's really a disturbing situation. But I want to point.
Go ahead. No, keep going. You said there was that second website. Where would we go for the second website?
The first one
was vaccinerights.com.
Yeah. So I have to participate in the lawsuit or I lose by default, but I don't believe I can rely on the system to fix the problem because if I could, it would have already been fixed a long time ago. So one of the things I did in addition to participating in the lawsuit is I created a nonprofit organization called Bar Watch Incorporated, and I have the whole story on the Bar Watch website, and the website is barwatchonline.org, barwatchonline.org, and the whole story is there. And Peter, there's a letter on that website that you and your listeners have got to look at, a letter from the lead attorney at the North Carolina Bar. It's about a 9-line, short one-paragraph letter, and she basically says, we're not doing anything with your complaint, which, of course, they can't do because they can't assess complaints against themselves, a rather obvious conflict of interest. But she not only violates conflicts of interest in this letter, she literally invents facts and laws. And I have you read this one paragraph letter. It's linked. It's called the Bar Council Letter. It's linked on the homepage at barwatchonline.org. And right below it, I have a commentary. And there are somewhere around 6, 7, 8 different ethical violations in that one paragraph letter. Now, that doesn't go to all the allegations in my complaints or original complaints against the bar, but it reveals right there for anybody to look and see for themselves that there's a problem in the North Carolina bar when the lead attorney can write a one paragraph letter that she obviously just whipped off the top of her head with blatant violations in terms of conflict of interest and literally making up facts and law in this one little paragraph. If the lead attorney there can do that, there's a problem at the North Carolina Bar, and anybody can go look at that letter and see that for themselves. But the thing I want to squeeze in here before we run out of time, because I see the clock ticking away here, Peter, is just real quick some things that your listeners can do to help if they feel so inclined. And the beauty of this is that nobody has to say, well, Alan sounds like he's telling the truth, or I can't tell. Nobody has to decide whether they believe my allegations, for example, that attorneys at the bar made up facts and law. What I'm asking support for is for the proposition that the North Carolina bar attorneys need to be investigated, and they are suppressing not only my complaint, Peter, but there are complaints from some alternative health organizations around the country against some of these bar attorneys as well. And all those complaints are being suppressed by the bar, but they can't lawfully assess or investigate complaints against themselves. Those complaints need to be addressed by some outside independent committee person, whatever or whoever it ultimately needs to be. And so the support I'm asking for is that people back me in the proposition that the bar cannot put itself above the law. If there are complaints against their attorneys, that has to be investigated just like complaints against any other attorney in North Carolina, but they can't, of course, investigate themselves. And a proper investigation should determine whether my allegations are true or not. And so if you go to either of those websites I just sent you to, you will find links to petitions. I have a petition for attorneys and a petition for non-attorneys where people can support the proposition that the North Carolina bar attorneys should not be allowed to put themselves above the law, but should be held to the same legal standard as every other attorney, which is what the law really requires.
Excellent information. So for those people, one more time, and I got to do this because I know we have some of our listening audience that may need a little bit of help with spelling. Vaccine is with 2 C's. So the way I always remember it is if you're questioning how many C's are in vaccines, there's too many. There's too many. So VACCINE and then rights.com. And then the other one is barwatchonline.org. So go there, sign the petition. Most importantly, share this with your friends, because a lot of our Building Fortunes Radio listening audience have a huge social network, and they are huge with personal responsibility, and they're huge with alternative medicine. They're huge with, you know, living their own lives, if you will. And besides the fact of this being vaccine-oriented, you're coming down to the basic idea of, wait a minute, Peter, it doesn't really have anything to do with vaccines. It's about the procedures that are in place as well. There's other people that are being hurt in North Carolina because, like you said, the bar can't really decide on whether the bar is doing something right or wrong or not, because it's almost like going to somebody's parent and saying, your kid did whatever, and they said, my kid would never do that. And it's like, okay, so then are we done with this? Like, are we done with this? Is this is the end of the rope? And you can make a decision. Oh, and then they're going to say, oh, and by the way, you're no longer a lawyer. That's taking away your livelihood. And especially in reference to you specifically, affecting the lives or livelihood of a whole bunch of other people as well. So I know we only have a few minutes left, but there's a lot of research that you have done and a lot of documentation and a lot of audio. So if somebody's going to look for Alan Phillips or Vaccine Rights Attorney or vaccinerights.com or do like I did, go to YouTube and do some research, you'll be able to find some of the very thorough and extended audios and videos that you've done before online. You too, I think, if you're my part of my Building Fortunes Radio listening audience, will be a big fan. So we have about 2 or 3 minutes left. I'll let you wrap this up however you want.
Well, thank you again, Peter, for having me on. This is an issue that's important to the alternative health community in particular nationally, because if they take me down, there's not only is there no one to take my place, nobody who does what I do, but even if there was, they wouldn't step in because they would be reasonably concerned that they would be the next to go down. And I'm perhaps naive, but if so, in a way that I claim and am proud of, that I just put it right out there, my website, vaccinerights.com, and right there at the top of every page, what I do, and proud of it. So it is there. It does affect the entire alternative health community. There are many to the vaccine controversy and the vaccine awareness movement, but I'm an irreplaceable one. And so I hope people will consider that. There are also links for fundraisers. That's, of course, up to anybody's conscience or what have you, but the nature of the work that I do is that most of what I do is not even billable time, and so I really do need funding support if people should feel so inclined. And, Peter, we've got some really interesting opportunities that are going to be coming up real soon in the next several days or a few weeks at the most, where we need some grassroots support. And I'm not going to try to explain it now, partly for lack of time here, but please stay tuned, folks, to what's going on here, because there's going to be an opportunity for people to help in a potentially profound way without spending any money at all, just a little bit of time reaching out and asking media and other important people to look at and address this issue. Because I think the solution to corruption here and anywhere, Peter, is to put a spotlight on the corruption. The theory is that even a bad person will do the right thing if there's a spotlight on them. So if we can put a bright enough light on the North Carolina bar's misconduct, maybe we can get it addressed in a proper way. And then that, I believe, will take care of the lawsuit and everything else having to do with me personally. And that's what we need to do with the vaccine controversy as well. Keep telling the truth. Keep putting it out there. Keep adding our light to the collective spotlight, and at some point, when enough of us hold hands and say no at the same time, you know, we have to create the clearing where the science and statistics and everything that's already out there can float to the top where everybody sees it. So let's work together to put a spotlight on that. And thank you for allowing me again.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, you're most welcome. We want to make sure that we don't run out of time. So on that note, thanks for listening in. You just heard Alan Phillips on Building Fortunes Radio, and we'll catch you next time, everyone. Thanks, and bye for now.
You've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the designated Building Fortunes Radio segment with Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website for our featured segments. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. At Building Fortunes Radio, we wish you the success you deserve and are willing to work for. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.